When New York Times book critic Michiko Kakutani reviewed journalist Kim Barker's 2011 memoir, The Taliban Shuffle, she described Barker as, quote, a sort of Tina Fey character who unexpectedly finds herself addicted to the adrenaline rush of war. That line caught the notice of a certain actress and producer.
It was embarrassing to say that that's how I became aware of the book. So then I read the book after that, and the book was so funny and so smart and so well-written that, yeah, then I was like, we should make this the movie.
The movie Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, starring Faye, brings Barker's account of her time as a Chicago Tribune reporter in Afghanistan to the big screen. It's the story of how Barker learned the ropes as a war correspondent for a war that America had stopped paying attention to. It's also the story of the second adolescence experienced by a small circle of journalists, aid workers, and other expats trapped together in a war zone. Kim Barker is now an investigative reporter for the New York Times Metro Desk. Kim, welcome to On the Media.
Thanks for having me.
What were you doing before you became a war correspondent?
Working on the Metro Desk at the Chicago Tribune and covering a lot of general assignment stories there. And then 9/11 happened. And I, like a lot of Metro reporters, wanted to go. In fact, I mean, I remember sitting down with another female reporter at the Tribune, Kirsten Scharnberg, and we mapped out who was getting sent where, and it was a lot of men. So we definitely wanted to get in the mix. And I think that I was not unusual and that I didn't know what I was doing when I first landed there. I felt like I was very much a foil for America going into a situation that America did not understand at all.
From a pure journalistic perspective, is there any difference between covering a war and covering, the local zoning board?
Well, I think that you're using similar skills and that you need to gather information and be able to write it up. But the thing that you need in covering a conflict zone or even anything that's outside of America is you need a team of people that you can actually trust, people who are going to speak the language for you. They're called fixers, who set up interviews, who help with your security and making sure that you're taking care of yourself and that you're doing stories that are safe. And it's a very symbiotic relationship.
Likewise, you very much depend upon, for transportation in some cases, and for your personal security, the very military that you were there to cover.
Right, right.
You didn't have to deal with that in Chicago.
I did not have to deal with that in Chicago so much. And it is like this thing, when the whole idea of embeds first came up, it first came up during Iraq. And the real question that arose at that point was, look, if you're depending on folks to give you shelter and to drive you around and other folks are shooting at them, naturally, you're going to be sympathetic to the people who are protecting you and who speak your language. And you can't get outside. It's not like it's possible to get the other story when you're in an embed situation. But the thing for those of us who were based outside of the military base, it was really helpful to be able to go in and do these embeds because then you could tell that side of the conflict. I was never the sort of journalist who went and did embeds because, you know, I wanted to cover Bang Bang. I'm really more of a chicken than that. I was more interested in telling the stories of these guys, and they were most often guys who had these repeat deployments and what that cost them back home and continuing to come back to this forgotten war and trying to build an army and a police in a nation that it was very difficult to do so in.
There is one moment, Kim, early on in the film, where the Kim Baker character, Tina Fey, who has been stumbling and bumbling and fumbling her way through the early days of her deployment, gets a piece of tape from a young Marine. And it sounds like this.
Are you guys getting outside the wire much?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Most days, you know, we help out with community projects and all and wells. And sometimes at night we shoot the big gun, but, you know, it's quiet here. I don't even chamber around my weapon anymore because, you know, I figure accidental discharge is scarier than the Taliban.
With Iraq, do you feel like people have forgotten about Afghanistan?
Oh, well, yes, ma'am. I'd say that surely is the word for it. This here's a forgotten war. It's capital F, capital W.
This moment will come back later when she discovers that as a consequence of his candor, the young Marine is assigned immediately to a forward position in the Helmand province, and it's grounded in reality.
Yeah, I had written a story in Afghanistan. I was with the Army. I met a guy there who, I really liked. He was just a smart aleck, and he informed me that he was not locked and loaded whenever we went outside the wire because he didn't see the point. And he had been in Iraq, and a lot of the guys there had been in Iraq. Now they're in Afghanistan, not quite sure what they're doing there. It went to the whole idea that there wasn't necessarily a strategy or a mission. He said this to me many times, and at one point I'd asked him it in front of a commanding officer. It was my first embed. I didn't understand that in embeds, some journalists protect people from themselves, and I just told the story that was right in front of me. I didn't really think that much about it, and I didn't hear anything from the military in terms of blowback on it. It wasn't until I was back and I was researching the book that I found out that the guy had lost a leg in moving to the more dangerous area. His new wife left him shortly after that, and I reached out to him, and I reached out to some friends of mine who were over there who sort of gave me a combination of the speech that you hear at the end of the movie.
Well, I'm very sorry for what happened to you. So if there's anything that you want to say to me, that's why I'm here. That's why I came here.
Ma'am, I lost my legs because of an IED, not because of you.
I appreciate that, but if I hadn't quoted you, you wouldn't have been transferred, and... No, really, you can say whatever you want to me. That's why I'm here.
Okay, well, then let's say you're right. It's still not because of you, ma'am. Some 12-year-old Haji had to plant that bomb. And hell, you know, if Bin Laden's parents hadn't have gotten divorced, maybe none of us would have been in the stand to begin with. And the Taliban, they wouldn't have even been there for you, BL, if Brezhnev hadn't have gone and fouled up Afghanistan in the first place. Oh, and the British Empire. Yeah. Oh, and Kim Baker.
Okay. I deserve that.
Very much I have to credit the soldier who was just like, look, I don't blame you for this, but of course as a journalist you feel guilty about that.
There's one particular review in The Atlantic by Megan Garber. And she writes, to frame Afghanistan as an answer to an American woman's great search for meaning is also to frame it as a place that can be disposed of when its utility to her has reached its expiration date. She's saying that the film, and I guess your book, are simply exploitive of the tragic setting in which it takes place.
I don't see this as like some sort of eat, pray, love in a war zone, which I've seen some people describe it as. It's just a story about somebody going to cover something and then seeing the toll that it can take and then deciding to come home. And it's a fair point to say that we can leave. And I very much try to talk about that in the book. And I think the movie nods towards that. I don't think you'd have these same sort of criticisms if it was a male character. I just don't. I think a lot of this is sexism. I do.
Seen your story exploited, not to say co-opted, by Hollywood.
Sure.
Is it a good experience? Is it a bad experience?
You know, it's an experience. I find what's great is being actually able to talk about this forgotten war. I mean, this is our longest war. Combat was declared over there in December 2014, but still we have troops over there, and the situation is not getting any better. And you never hear about it. You know, you've got historic levels of civilian casualties. You've got an Afghan National Army that is being routed in many cases, and you've got these folks who are running away from it. The last count I looked at it, something like more than $728 billion has been spent on this. And yet you don't hear anybody talking about it. So for me, to be able to talk about it and to be able to talk about Afghans, that's a wonderful thing.
Kim, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Kim Barker is on the Metro desk at the New York Times. She's the author of The Taliban Shuffle. You've been listening to an OTM podcast extra. If you could do us a favor of leaving us a review on iTunes and giving us, you know, a 5-star rating, that would be great. It really does help other people find the show.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.